Systemic Racism and the Christian Response, part two today. That's our topic on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Well, thank you for joining us today here on the Christian Worldview radio program as we talk about systemic racism and the Christian response. This is part two of a two-part series. Now, last week in part one of our conversation, Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker, hosts of the Just Thinking podcast, talked about the widely accepted false assertion and animating worldview behind the protests, the destruction, the criminal acts taking place all across this country, that our nation is, quote, systemically racist against blacks. This week in part two, we're going to examine how evangelicals are agreeing with the errant notion of systemic racism, even using, quote, Black Lives Matter sloganeering, despite its association with the blatantly unbiblical Black Lives Matter organization. Here is one example by J.D. Greer. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in America.
Southern Baptists, we need to say it clearly as a gospel issue. Black lives matter. Of course, black lives matter. Our black brothers and sisters are made in the image of God. Black lives matter because Jesus died for them.
Okay, we'll get back to that audio later in the program, but just an example. Now, you've also likely seen professing Christian friends on social media or even your pastor or church elders agree with how systemically racist our country is and that we must, quote, lament, listen, learn, repent, reform, and according to a recent column in Christianity Today, must pay reparations. So I hope you enjoy and gain from this interview with Daryl and Virgil. Let's get to the first segment. The black community has had great spiritual influence, preachers and so forth. There was a time where there was that in America. Talk about how the spiritual teaching, the influence of sound teachers has changed within the black community and how that's impacted them.
Man, there's all kinds of things I'd want to say about that. And I know Daryl knows exactly kind of where I'm coming from. It's two thoughts with that. One, when you say, hey, we have a history of black preachers who have kind of led things in the culture and the community, we'd have to identify which ones you're talking about with specificity. I'd be careful to lump all the black preachers into that same category of those who spoke well and had sound doctrine, had sound theology. I do know that because of the tribalism in our communities, we're more likely to be connected to emotionalism, and that emotionalism has weight within our communities. But to the point that you're asking, to the question you're asking, how have things shifted? And I think it really goes back to what Daryl and I have been talking about. When we begin to embrace cultural perspectives, when we begin to embrace cultural anthropology, when we begin to embrace cultural solutions rather than biblical solutions, when we defer to pragmatism rather than the providence of God, the word of God, the truth of the scripture, we will find ourselves one degree off in the military. I know Daryl and I are both military, have military backgrounds. We called it mission creep. And what happens over time is you begin to appeal and use and leverage those things that are apart from scripture, away from scripture, and begin using ideas from James Cone and black liberation theology of the 60s and the 70s and early 80s, and now the resurgence of those ideas through social justice, you move far off of the page of what's in scripture, and you move into the heightening of what we see in our culture currently.
This is why I appreciate being partnered with Verge like we are, not just on the podcast, but David, in opportunities like this, because we have similar experiences that we can leverage off one another. Verge grew up in the quote-unquote black church, as did I. What's sad for me is seeing this shift, and Virgil sort of touched on this a second ago, seeing this shift in many pulpits in predominantly black churches towards preaching a social gospel of liberation. They've bought into the theology of James Cone. They're preaching that as the quote-unquote gospel, but that is not the gospel that Christ preached. Christ preached a gospel of freedom from the bondage of sin. Many pulpits in inner cities right now are still preaching a theology that's held up against the bondage of blacks in slavery.
Yes.
So that is a common. I agree with Virgil. We're not lumping all black pastors and preachers into the same bucket. But I can tell you right now, in many of the larger inner cities in this country, liberation theology has grabbed a foothold, and it is holding on tight, and it is influencing and shaping the preaching that is coming out of many of these pulpits. Mm.
Dale Harrison again and Virgil Walker, the hosts of the Just Thinking podcast, join us today on the Christian Worldview as we talk about systemic racism. And now let's get into the second major part of what we'd like to cover today is the Christian or the church, the evangelical response that is taking place to the protests, race protests and riots, violence taking place all across this country. I want to read a couple quotes to you guys. There was an article on Fox News website quoting Brian Houston, the leader of the Hillsong Church. They came out with a statement saying, "Hillsong Church is opposed to racism, and we believe black lives matter," Houston said in a statement. "The needless and tragic death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the much deeper systemic issues toward African-American people that his death has highlighted must lead to radical and permanent change. Racism must stop. And my prayer is that this moment in history will be a moment of lasting equality, transformation, and change." And then also a couple more quotes here just to give you some context. Carl Lentz, another leader of Hillsong, I believe in New York. "This is not a new problem," he said, "and it's not the result of the pandemic. It's the result of a spiritual pandemic and a cultural pandemic that has existed in America since the very foundations, and we've never really dealt with it. We don't talk about it. It's taboo to discuss it." I got the quote wrong there. That was actually T.D. Jakes telling that to Carl Lentz of Hillsong.
Oh, boy.
One more quote, and this is someone you don't know, don't need to mention the name. This is the daughter of someone we know, a pastor, grew up in a Christian home. I'm just going to read you just a personal post she wrote on Facebook to give you an idea, and I'm sure you're seeing the same kinds of sympathies being written or spoken in people you know. She writes, "The riots show us that much more of our privilege as white people, that we have never been that angry and that fed up with something working against us, that frustrated with not being believed and being traumatized again and again, that we have never felt something that strongly which would make us act out in that way. Similar," she says, "to the Boston Tea Party, which I'm pretty sure is celebrated or at least not demonized today." And by the way, I've heard that example being used a lot. These riots, protests today are the same as the white people with the Boston Tea Party back in the 1700s. "For so long, our black brothers and sisters have been saying, there's a disease. We feel it and see it all around us." She's talking about systemic racism, which you've already addressed. "And we," and she's saying whites, "have responded with, quote, I don't see it. Please sit down. But we see it now," she concludes with, "we stand with you." And the last thing she writes is, hashtag Black Lives Matter. Again, daughter of a Christian pastor. Not trying to pick on her, but this is a worldview that I see all over the internet now, and you see it with organizations like even the Gospel Coalition, Southern Baptist Convention, Christianity Today. I don't want to whole house group everyone in the same worldview here, but you're seeing this kind of worldview being expressed. Which one would you like to start with to respond to all the Christian response to this?
Let me jump on that first. I would love to ask her one question. Why do Black Lives Matter? Why? Can you tell me why Black Lives Matter? And I can guarantee you 100% her response would be something other than what it should be, which should be, to quote me, Genesis 1:27, that God made them male and female in his image. If she gives me any other answer to that question, that is the wrong answer. Everybody's out here with these hashtags talking about, well, this ethnic life matters, that ethnic life matters. Nobody's asking the question or answering the question, well, why? And when you do see some sort of question or answer being propagated on social media, it's usually some humanistic context. Let's all come together and sing kumbaya kind of thing, because we all inherit the same planet. We all breathe the same air. It's that kind of context in which they want to offer an apologetic for why Black Lives Matter when it should be rooted only in the fact you matter because you bear the image of God. That is the only perfect and equitable response to that question. You know, and what gets me also, and Virgil, I'll let you jump in here after this. I love how many people treat racism as if it were a carton of milk with an expiration date. They say, well, let's end racism as if it's a carton of milk and you can just look at the date and say, yeah, on this date, it's going to go bad. And then I can just pour the milk out after that date. We can just cut off racism as if it's a light switch that you can turn on or off. But racism isn't like a carton of milk with an expiration date. Biblically, sinful ethnic prejudice is what we should call it, biblically speaking. It's sinful ethnic prejudice. That is not some kind of ism. It is hate. It's hate. 1 John 2, 9 through 11, 1 John 3, 15, it's hate. Biblically, and I've said this over and over and over again, there are only two attitudes you and I can have towards one another. Only two. I either love you or I hate you. There are no isms in between it. I either love you or I hate you. The only question that remains is how my love or hate towards you manifests itself. That's the only question. We have so complicated what the gospel makes so simple. Jesus in John 13, 34, I leave you a new commandment. To what? Love one another. It's that simple. Virg, you want to add, man?
We act as if, and those who were commenting, they act as if the injustice of murder, the crime of murder, is more unjust or more tragic when we can attach motivation to it.
That's poor.
Okay. And the reality is the crime committed against George Floyd ended his life. There's nothing more tragic than that. So for us to act as if it can become more tragic or more unjust, if we can just simply identify or at least label the motivation as race or racism, it's foolishness. Those other men that you quoted, most of them come from a theology light perspective. They've applied all the great tools of pragmatism to grow their churches as large as they have. That's why they're mega churches. None of them are building their church or their church following with the depths of biblical ecclesiology. So it should not be surprising that they have a less than biblical anthropology or a less than biblical hermeneutology or a less than biblical soteriology. The solutions they're prescribing have nothing to do with scripture. So we shouldn't be surprised, blown away, shocked, caught off guard. They've misidentified the problem. They're going to misprescribe the solutions in these instances. Yeah.
And David, if I could just append one more thing to what Virgil just said.
Okay, Dara will give that appendum after this first break of the day here on the Christian Real View radio program. Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker are our guests today, hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. We're talking about systemic racism and the Christian response. This is part two of two. We have much more coming up today in the program, so I hope you'll stay with us. I'm David Wheaton. You're listening to the Christian Real View.
People everywhere have anxiety about the coronavirus pandemic. What will happen to their health, their job, their finances, the future? There is also heightened spiritual awareness. Why is God doing this? Am I right with Him? We encourage you to order Ray Comfort's 20-page booklet, How to Be Free from the Fear of Death, which explains how one can have peace with God and a confident hope for this life and the next through the good news of the gospel. If you have never contacted the Christian Worldview, request the booklet, How to Be Free from the Fear of Death, for free by calling us at 1-888-646-2233. For everyone else, you can order as many as you'd like for 50 cents per booklet, perfect for sharing with others. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233. That's thechristianworldview.org.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. For when Christians have a stronger faith and when unbelievers come to saving faith, lives and families and churches, even communities, are changed for the glory of God. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry. You can help us in our mission to impact hearts and minds by making a donation of any amount or becoming a monthly partner. All donations are tax deductible. You can give online at thechristianworldview.org or by calling us toll-free 1-888-646-2233. When you give, we'd like to thank you by sending you a current resource. Monthly partners can choose to receive resources throughout the year. Call 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for joining us today on The Christian Worldview as we talk about part two of our topic of the allegation of systemic racism and the Christian response. Our guests are Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker, the hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. You can find out more about that by going to our website, thechristianworldview.org. And right at the end of the first segment there, Daryl was continuing with his comments on the Christian response to the allegation of Christian racism. Let's get straight back to the interview.
And David, if I could just append one more thing to what Virgil just said. You know, when we're talking about an ism like racism, to allege that something is racism, when you append ism to the end of that word, you are implying a motive. When you assume a motive, it automatically becomes a theological question at that point. Mm-hmm. Because motives, as we know from Mark chapter 7, Jesus' own words, motive is rooted in the heart. The only way you can know motive, the only way we can know the motive of this police officer in Minnesota is if he confesses that he hated this man because of the color of his skin. That is the only way for certain that you can know. We hear the words of Jesus here in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through verse 23. Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile the man." So any ism that you're applying to any situation, you're automatically assuming motive, and that makes it a theological issue, not a sociological issue.
Yeah. I wanted to add to that. I remembered in the quote, what we seem to do oftentimes when we talk about Black Lives Matter, we talk about systemic racism, is we bracket it inside of the American experience as if that's the only experience by which we need to examine our lives. And scripture doesn't provide that as an option for us. They attribute, you know, this is a historic issue with regard to historic racism in our country. No, it's not. It actually goes all the way back to the fall of Adam in Genesis chapter 3. What we find by Genesis chapter five, verse three, it says, when Adam lived 130 years, he fathered a son. And here's the difference. Initially, we were created in the image of God and in his likeness. But what we find in Genesis chapter five, verse three, when Adam lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own image.
Great point.
And after his image, and named him Seth. And so that's what's at issue. You have to go back to see where the fall took place. And then understand that what takes place thereafter, every man who comes after Adam has a sin-filled nature. This is not bracketed in the American experience. This goes all the way back to the very beginning of the creation of mankind and created order.
Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker with us today talking about systemic racism and the Christian response here on the Christian Worldview radio program. They're the hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. Go to justthinking.me to find out more. I want to play a soundbite to both of you from a pastor named Jason Meyer. He's the pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church here in the Twin Cities. This is formerly the church where John Piper was the pastor for many, many years. And I think Jason Meyer in this 1 minute sound clip captures what the response of many evangelicals or many professing Christians has been to the killing of George Floyd. Here's that soundbite, and I'll have you follow up afterwards.
But do you see the difference between the type of lament that's needed? Not a type of lament that only sees one incident and says, that's wrong. It's easy, isn't it? It's easy for many to be able to say in a majority culture church, see that video and say, that's wrong. When African Americans are saying, yes, it's wrong, we're not just saying that's wrong. We're saying that's our story. We're saying that the image of a white knee on a black neck is triggering because that's been our history. From rape to redlining to slavery to segregation. With all of our blood on the ground. Blood and sweat. And our tears have not soaked the ground like they should.
So, Jason Meyer, again, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, right near, by the way, I mean, within a mile of where all these incidents took place in Minneapolis this past week, is saying, and he's white, saying that we have not lamented, we have not understood. This response, I think, is in the same ballpark as what we're hearing from the Gospel Coalition, some of the writers there. From the Southern Baptist Convention. You mentioned one on your own podcast. You read the response that they made. Periodicals like Christianity Today, many churches and pulpits. This is the type of response. Which one of you would like to respond first to it?
I'll go first. I don't know what that's supposed to solve. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Grit my teeth harder or clench my fists stronger, squint my eyes tighter, cry more tears, wail more loudly? How is that going to remedy the hundreds of years of slavery that he was alluding to in his impassioned plea there? You know, one thing I would want to convey to Jason Meyer, that not all slave owners were white. As a matter of fact, the voice you're hearing right now, David, is a descendant of black slave owners. Mm. I have both sides covered. I'm a descendant of men and women who were slaves. I'm also descended from a tribe of slave owners in Guinea-Bissau, West Africa. So I would like to ask, what does he do with someone like me, with my experience, since he's all lumped us all in together into the same experiential boat, saying that that's our story? No, that's not my story. I don't wake up every morning going, nobody knows the trouble I see. I don't go singing that every morning. I wake up with joy that my heart is beating, that I get another opportunity to serve the Lord, who in his providential timing, according to Acts 17:26, ordained not only that I would be born, but where and how and in what circumstances. What Myers is preaching is more ethnic misery. Why is Christianity even the answer at all, if that's the kind of mindset I'm going to carry about me every day?
Jason Meyer, and again, I've said this time and again, Daryl disagrees with me here. I think they're well-intentioned. I think they're well-intentioned. Daryl's laughing because I know he completely disagrees with me. I think he comes from a place where he believes that what he is saying is somehow heartfelt and is somehow the right prescription of care for the African-American parishioners in his congregation. The problem is that what it forces them to do is it forces them to identify wrongly with someone on the basis of melanin in their skin. The right connection that a pastor of a church should be making is connecting believers in Christ, regardless of their melanin, to the one in whom they must identify in order to inherit salvation, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They need to recognize their sin against God, that God the Father sends His Son to die on a cross unjustly for the purpose of inheriting our injustice upon Him. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we would but repent of our sin and place our faith in Him would inherit eternal life. The greatest injustice is the injustice given to Christ Himself. We have to start and begin there. I love what Daryl said earlier in our conversation. Black folk are the only folk who don't get the benefit of having a unique story by which we identify. We're the only group of people that don't get that benefit. And even to the point of showing up to church on Sunday morning and having our own pastors and preachers tell us how we need to view this event and then prescribe to us what the remedy for that. And the remedy that he's prescribing is greater lament, greater sadness, greater crying. I don't know what that solves. I don't know how that changes the heart of anyone who intends ill to Black folk or any other kind of folk. I don't know how that solves anything. What it creates is a permanent victim class.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it creates.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part about that is that he is using the most authoritative platform that God has given on this earth by which to establish a permanent victim class. The church and the pulpit is the most authoritative position from which any human being can speak. And for him to do so in a way that has nothing to do with what's written in the book, I fear for him. I've said this on our show. Men who are doing that, who are coddling those kinds of emotion, they need to repent of that and properly direct their parishioners to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the cross of Christ.
Well said, Virg. And let me explain why I disagree with Virgil on giving these guys the benefit of the doubt. 1619, Jamestown, Virginia, the first African slave stepped off the first slave ship to land on the shores of America. 1619 was 401 years ago. Jason Meyer, Beth Moore, and people like that, I call bandwagoners, because they've had 401 years to address this issue. They're opportunists. You only hear from them when incidents like this happen. Where are they writing about the ills of slavery in between these incidents? It was the same with Trayvon Martin as it was now with George Floyd. That's why I consider them opportunists and will not give them the benefit of the doubt that Virgil gives them, because these people have ample opportunities in between these incidents to address the historical ills that slavery has wrought on this nation, undeniable. But I'm not going to walk in a woe is me attitude when the gospel of Jesus Christ tells me that in him, I already have victory over this world. Mm. It's totally antithetical to me and my life as a Christian.
Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker are our guests today on the Christian Worldview. Much more right after this.
It is a pain to know that there are people who do not know Jesus. It is a greater pain to know that oftentimes Jesus and Christianity is being distorted.
Your destiny is calling out. It's time to start living large.
I don't think God killed Jesus.
That's a sick God and a sick story.
This is the doctrine of Christianity. This is the doctrine that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world.
The American gospel films contrast the false teaching so prevalent today to true biblical Christianity. Both films are available in our store and would be excellent to show to your family or small group or give to your pastor. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233 or visit thechristianworldview.org.
think biblically and live accordingly. That's what we try to do each week on the Christian Real View radio programs. We discuss topics from current events to cultural issues to matters of faith. Our topic today is on the allegation of systemic racism that we're hearing so frequently and loudly today, and the Christian response to that allegation. And our guest on the program again this week is part two, Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker. They're the hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. You can subscribe to that by going to iTunes or Google Play. And they really have great insight, biblical insight, on this issue today. Before we get back to the interview with them, just a reminder to sign up for our free weekly email and annual print newsletter. Those are great ways, free ways, to get connected with the program. You can get audio of past programs. You can get the short takes by those. You can find out how you can support the ministry of the Christian Worldview. We also have tons of resources available online at our store, DVDs for adults, for kids, books, all sorts of things. So I encourage you to do that. That helps support our ministry as well, by the way, with resources. So, okay, we have one segment remaining with Daryl and Virgil, and then we have some summary commentary after that. So if you missed, again, if you missed part one of the program, you can go back to our website, and that's posted now, thechristianworldview.org. But let's get to the final segment of part two.
The prescription was additional lament. My question is, at what point does that stop? Like, how much lament is enough? What you'll find is that when people subscribe to the social justicians solutions, they are never satisfied. There will never be enough lament. There will never be enough. You fill in the blank with whatever is the prescription. There will never be enough. And what that really says, again, Daryl alluded to it, the gospel is insufficient. The cross of Christ is insufficient. Christ did not do enough. He did enough for everything else except for the issue of quote unquote racism.
Right. That's the exception. That's the only sin that Christ's death on the cross did not atone for and cannot atone for. That's why within that milieu of lament, that's the buzzword du jour now, lament, we have to crucify people because Christ's crucifixion wasn't enough. So we have to crucify this Minneapolis police officer because he's white. If George Floyd had been murdered by a black person, we would not be on your program right now, David, because you wouldn't know his name. You wouldn't know George Floyd's name. You wouldn't know the circumstances under which he died. In Chicago, just over the past 4 weeks, over 100 people have been murdered in that city. I can't tell you a single name of any of those victims. Those victims are just as dead as George Floyd is. Where is he, Meyer? Where is he on those people? Where's Beth Moore with her opportunistic tweets on social media commenting on the deaths of those individuals? They're just as dead. George Floyd is no more dead than they are. But the circumstances of George Floyd's death fit perfectly within the narrative that's being propagated today, and the church is not exempt from propagating that narrative.
Yeah. Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker are our guests today on the Christian Worldview. They're the hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. You really need to get this subscribed and listen to this on a regular basis. JustThinking.me is their website. You can also get the podcast, subscribe to it at iTunes or Google Play. I just want to conclude with this question, Daryl and Virgil. As we deal with the Christian response to what's being sold as systemic racism, as I mentioned, and we've seen quotes, we've gone over these, many evangelicals are supporting, sympathizing with these protests. They would say they're against the riots, but even the protests are, if you watch them, yes, some are peaceful, just holding some signs, but read the signs. Abolish the police, defund the police, F the police. There's all kinds of rage. They're rage-filled. They're obscene. They're law-breaking. I think a lot of Christians look at all of this and say, well, I saw what happened to George Floyd, and certainly that was horrible. Any human being who has a pulse should be able to see that and see that was a terrible thing that happened. But there are signs saying, well, boy, I'm not for these riots. I'm not even for these protests. It seemed like there's this rage-filled protests. They're trying to figure out what to make of this whole thing, how to process this whole thing, and where a biblical Christian should land. So I'd like both of you just to make a summary comment if you're talking to a listener today who's just trying to process this whole thing, how would you reason with someone and persuade someone where they should land as they see what is taking place in our country right now?
I would say to that person, I would need to ask them the question, or at least suggest anyway, encourage them to remember, why do we have laws to begin with? We have laws fundamentally to protect us against one another. That's why we have laws. That's why we have police officers to help protect us against one another. Laws and law enforcement anyway, the laws intrinsically or innately, inherently do nothing. Laws are only effective to the degree that you and I make a volitional choice to obey those laws. Outside of a volitional choice to a decision to obey the law is totally impotent. It's totally impotent. But laws exist to protect one sinner from another sinner. And I would encourage Christians out there to respond as Jesus did. This is not just a simple "what would Jesus do" kind of thing. I'm looking to the scriptures here, looking at 1 Peter 2:21, 23. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself." Please hear this, listener. "But kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." And I'll just close with this, then I'll hand it over to Virgil. Injustice is not non-justice. This is exactly what 1 Peter 2, verse 23 is saying about Jesus. Jesus entrusted himself to God because he knows God is going to judge righteously. He's going to do this. 1 Timothy 5:24 says that the sins of some are judged in this life, but the sins of others are going to be judged in the next life. So remember, injustice is not non-justice. Verge.
I don't know that I could add a whole lot to that. I think that was said soundly. I think the idea that somehow someone wearing a badge or a police uniform is sin repellent, it keeps them from sinning, is foolish. And I think we've got to identify and know and understand. I've been saying it the entire time. We've got to diagnose the fact that human beings are going to sin. Sinners actually do sin. Hmm. And when they do, there are temporal penalties for that. There are judicial penalties for that. At the end of the day, all will answer to God for their works of iniquity in this life. And it is only through the gospel of Jesus Christ that hearts are transformed and changed, that people absolutely inherit eternal life. And we can see a difference. I was talking with Daryl earlier today, and we were talking about Jesus, the fact that Jesus didn't come to save society. He came to save sinners. And the idea that we're going to somehow fix society and create utopia is foolishness. During one of our episodes, Daryl unpacked the word utopia. Daryl, tell them what you talked about with regard to the meaning of the word utopia.
Yeah, so utopia is used a lot as a place of destination, a place of perfect harmony, unity, and togetherness. But when you look at the word by definition, it actually literally translates to mean nowhere. That's what the word utopia means. Mm-hmm. It means nowhere.
We recognize the fact that this, for the believer, this is not our home. The idea that we're going to somehow transform society to look like this utopia that's in the mind of whoever's creating these ideas is absolute foolishness. The only way we experience freedom from the penalty from sin, freedom from the power of sin, and freedom from the presence of sin is by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. I encourage listeners to repent today, to bow the knee, to turn from sin and place their full faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, you couldn't have concluded our conversation any better than that. And I want to thank both of you, Daryl and Virgil, for coming on the program and giving a perspective from the Word of God that is not being communicated. You wouldn't expect to be communicated in the media and in the broader culture by politicians, but you would hope that this would be communicated within the Christian community. It's not even being communicated, at least from what I'm seeing and hearing, enough in that space. So thank you to both of you for being faithful to the Word and we wish all of God's best and grace to you, your families, and the Just Thinking podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, David.
So thankful for Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker. Believe that God ordains certain people at certain times in history. I think that's pretty obvious that he does. And to be a voice. And the voice that these two men have is an important one right now when so much of the narrative is not against, is contrary to what they are saying. And they had lots of biblical basis for what they were saying. And I hope you really gained from hearing this interview today and last week. You can go to thechristianworldview.org to hear the programs again or send them to other people who need to hear this perspective. They're not hearing this. They're hearing the America is systemically racist. We need, quote, change. And it's just not true. We do need change, but we need spiritual change. That's what we really need. And so in thinking about this, and again, you can want to make sure I tell you about their podcast in case you just joined us. It's the Just Thinking podcast. You can sign up for it by going to iTunes or Google Play. In summary here, I'm thinking of some points to summarize what they have been saying this week and last on the program. Somehow I didn't make the connection last week. That, do you remember the program we did on Memorial Day weekend? It was on debunking Howard Zinn, how he's deconstructed American history, how terrible and racist and horrible this country is, and it's been believed. You know what? 2 days later, on Memorial Day, this killing of George Floyd happens, and the response has been indicative that Howard Zinn has had a huge influence on this country and the way we perceive our own nation. More coming up after this.
David Wheaton here to tell you about my boy Ben, a story of love, loss, and grace. Ben was a yellow lab and inseparable companion at a stage in my life when I was single and competing on the professional tennis tour. I invite you to enter into the story and its tapestry of relationships with Ben, my aging parents, with a childhood friend I would finally marry, and ultimately with God, who caused all things, even the hard things, to work together for good. Order the book for your friend who needs to hear about God's grace and the gospel, or the one who has gone through a difficult trial or loss, or just the dog lover in your life. Signed and personalized copies are only available at myboyben.com or by calling 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233 or myboyben.com. People everywhere have anxiety about the coronavirus pandemic. What will happen to their health, their job, their finances, the future? There is also heightened spiritual awareness. Why is God doing this? Am I right with him? We encourage you to order Ray Comfort's 20-page booklet, How to Be Free from the Fear of Death, which explains how one can have peace with God and a confident hope for this life and the next through the good news of the gospel. If you have never contacted the Christian Worldview, request the booklet, How to Be Free from the Fear of Death, for free by calling us at 1-888-646-2233. For everyone else, you can order as many as you'd like for 50 cents per booklet. Perfect for sharing with others. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233. That's thechristianworldview.org.
Final segment of the day here on the Christian Worldview radio program. David Wheaton, the host, and our website, thechristianworldview.org. Been listening to an interview the last 2 weeks with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker, the hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. That's linked at our website. You can find out more there. But just in summary today, just realized how the influence of Howard Zinn, maybe not just him, he wrote A People's History of the United States, which totally cast our country in a racist, sexist, terrible light, and how that's been taught in schools and higher education and so forth. And that's the way many people in this country view this country today. It's hate America. We're a terrible nation. And so that influence has had a huge influence on this generation that's rising up, and on many Christians, by the way, as well. You'll hear this, we go back 400 years when America really started. It's all cast in the narrative of slavery. And so when this happens, like what happened to George Floyd by this white police officer, a false accusation is made. The false accusation is America is systemically racist. The whole body is racist. It goes back 400 years. And really, that's believing a lie, that the killing was racist. We have no idea whether it was or not, but that's just assumed now. It's not even thought about. It's just assumed that the white police officer was racist toward George Floyd. May have been. But then you have to make the leap that everyone else has made, that then the police are racist, the police department. So defund them, dismantle them like they're thinking of doing in Minneapolis. And then you make the leap that, well, then not only the police are racist, but society is systemically racist. Everywhere in society is systemically racist. Whites are racist. If you're born white, you're just racist. Now, the slavery era in America was systemically racist. That is systemic racism. And all of society operates around this act of slavery. And segregation era, you could say that was systemically racist to a large point as well, at least in the South. But not today. And the data does not show that. And I could go into that, but I'm not going to take the time. I've done that in previous programs, but articles that have been written about interactions between whites and blacks and policing and all that. It's not what they say it, like white police officers are going on to target black people. It doesn't say that at all. Now, of course, there are those with sinful ethnic prejudice, as Daryl mentioned. That's a great term, sinful ethnic prejudice instead of racism. There's only one race, sinful ethnic prejudice. There are people with that, of course, of all skin colors have it. Whites have it towards blacks and blacks towards white. It's part of our sin nature. But to say our government, our academia, our media, our police are conspiratorially racist, systemically racist toward blacks, that is laughable. And maybe it's the opposite, actually. There's a lot of partiality, I would say. And I think Daryl and Virgil would agree with this. A lot of partiality shown towards blacks and in hiring and in funding from government and admission to schools and grants and so forth. And this is also hypocritical to say this. There's so much shouting and screaming about our systemic racism, but there's not very much shouting and screaming about the injustice of black babies being killed by the millions or the countless black on black deaths every single day. Daryl mentioned that. Why? Because this really isn't about justice. Otherwise, this movement would seek justice for the individual perpetrator, the police officer who did it. This is about retribution. It's about reparations and blame shifting and gaining power to impose a godless worldview. And that's not just blacks, by the way. There are probably 50% white people involved in these protests or more, actually. This is not a skin color issue. This is a worldview shift trying to take place. In Christianity Today, I read an article from FoxNews.com that Timothy Dalrymple, who is the CEO, I believe, of Christianity Today, wrote this in a editorial piece. Repentance alone is not enough for white evangelicals to atone for the nation's, quote, original sin of racism. The virus of racism infected our church, our constitution and laws, our attitudes and ideologies. We have never fully defeated it, Dalrymple wrote. It's time for white evangelicals to confess that we have not taken the sin of racism with the gravity and seriousness it deserves, he said, claiming the church was, quote, silent in the face of slavery or even complicit in it. Today's generations may say we did not invent the bull of racial injustice, but we have benefited from it. It will not be enough, he says, but it will be something, reparations. What if there were Zacchaeus funds? He was a character in scripture that was a tax collector, and after he was saved, he gave restitution to those he had defrauded. In every city, and believers gave sacrificially so our brothers and sisters could be restored, and so our neighbors could see once again the Christ-like love that overcame the world. It's a perfect summation of what those who believe that this country is systemically racist. Those are the roads you go down, that the offenders and the offended of slavery, they've been dead for generations. So how is it right to force or even guilt whites into making restitutions for wrongs they didn't commit against people whose those wrongs weren't committed against? But you see, when a lie is believed, the lie of, quote, systemic racism, the reactions and solutions will all be wrong and they'll all be dishonoring to God. Never solve the core problem, as Virgil was saying, of unregenerate hearts, both white and black, in need of conversion through faith in Christ. And once that occurs, lives and perspectives change to align with the Church of God. One of them mentioned Beth Moore in the tweet that tweeting she's been doing, but she actually liked a tweet. And this says a lot about how people, how some Christians are even thinking about this. She liked the following tweet. She said, "Christians, do not treat the protest as a new mission field. Do not go to, quote, love on people or to lead people in prayer. Do not go to, quote, be a Christian voice in the crowd or to share God's love or to witness to people. Go to fight systemic racism and racial violence. The end." You see, that's where you have the solution all wrong. Actually, that is the solution, to go and share the gospel of people. Because once people see themselves in a different identity than the primary identity of their skin color, that's when things begin to change. You know, to borrow a little phrase, no justice, no peace, we're hearing that. Well, you could say the same thing, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Or conversely, in a better light, you could say, no Jesus, K-N-O-W, no Jesus, no peace. That there is the solution to this whole thing. And so it goes from being a false accusation of systemic racism to a sinful manifestation is the second aspect of this. All you have to do is look at the fruit of these uprightings, the rage, the violence, the lack of forgiveness, the obscenities, the criminal acts, the murders, by the way, have taken place, all the killings that have people have died since this whole thing, the lootings, the burnings. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. Did Jesus ever participate in anything like this? In his society that was actually way, way more unjust than ours, where slavery was rampant, he received the most unjust treatment ever, the perfect one, crucified unjustly. What was his response? Burn buildings, set up autonomous zones, accuse everything of systemic racism? No, he didn't do that at all. He preached the gospel, and he preached the kingdom of God, because you know that heart change is the key to individual change. And as an offshoot of that, then communities and families do change. But it's never going to be perfect here on earth. Thank you for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, His Word, and His Son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233 or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.